Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to the second hour of our Fiqh Q&A program. Just to remind our listeners, in the first hour we played for you opening our hearts to the opening surah, Suratul Fatiha, explaining 20 lessons by Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib, damat barakatuhum. The program that took place on Saturday 3rd October at Masjid Al-Furqan on 2nd Avenue in Houghton. That was the first session that we played for you from Asr till Maghrib. Now in the second hour, inshallah, we'll play for you the second and the third session that took place on Saturday at Masjid Al-Furqan in Houghton, and the speaker was Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib, damat barakatuhum, explaining Suratul Fatiha in 20 lessons. Explaining Suratul Fatiha in 20 lessons, and the topic was opening our hearts to the opening surah, Suratul Fatiha. Now we're going to listen to second session as well as the third session, which took place at the Houghton Masjid in Masjid Al-Furqan in this past weekend on Saturday and Sunday. So that's what we're going to play for you in the second hour as well. And like we said in the first hour, that Hazrat Mufti Siraj Desai Sahib, damat barakatuhum, is overseas. Mufti Sahib will only be back in the week from Pakistan, so that's why we're playing this Suratul Fatiha, 20 lessons from Suratul Fatiha by Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib, damat barakatuhum.
Radio Islam, nahnu nada'aka ala tariq as-sahih للحياة السعيدة.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله. My dear friends, we are coming to the conclusion of our program. These verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So the concept of hidayat. What is the concept of hidayat? There are three types of hidayat. One hidayat is where a person shows someone the first level of hidayat is the natural instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in His creation. That is also hidayat. Why we say it is hidayat? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who created and then He gave hidayat to His creation. So this is, what kind of hidayat is this? This is the instinct that Allah has created in human beings, in man, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, teaches the natural instinct. The baby suckles the mother's milk. How does that happen? Who teaches? Which school that baby went to? Which college did the baby go to? The offspring of animals. Who taught them how to stand for themselves? This is that hidayat. Allah says He is the one who created. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي آتَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ فَهَدَى. Then He gave hidayat to His creation. So for example, I was reading about the crow. When the crow, it's the egg is broken open and its little whatever you want to call it, chick, comes out of that shell, then it comes out with no feathers on its body at all. It's like a red piece of meat. And the mother becomes so afraid of its own baby that it flies away and leaves it to itself. Mosquitoes come around it thinking that this is a piece of flesh they can feed on. And that chick of the crow actually feeds off the mosquitoes. That's its provision. And then as it feeds on all these mosquitoes and other insects that are flying around it, eventually that causes its feathers to grow. And when its feathers grow, it becomes capable of flying and the mother becomes again attached to it. So who is the one who taught all of this? This is what Allah is saying. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. And رَبُّنَا الَّذِي آتَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ فَهَدَى. So that is the first level of hidayah, which is the instincts that Allah has placed in His creation. That is also a type of hidayat. The second type of hidayat is ira'atul tariq, to show the people the road. And the third type of hidayat is Isal ilal matlub, where you take a person by the hand and you make them reach the destination. So now we have on the second and third level of hidayat, qira'atut tariq, to show a person the road. It is, for example, a person wants to travel from Masjidul Furqan in Houghton, he wants to go to, for example, Lanesia or Pretoria. So how to go? So a person will stand outside the masjid and say, brother, take the first left, pass three sets of traffic lights, then the first right, then carry on straight till you come. Now, this is not the direction, so don't follow what I'm saying, this is an example. Right, and then you carry on and on for another 5 kilometers, then you see one sign there on the road, then that is where you take the off-ramp or the on-ramp and you get onto the highway and you carry on for 35 kilometers and like the GPS. Right, so that is the second level of hidayat, qira'atut tariq. And then there is the third level of hidayat, and that is isal ilal matlub, where the person says, no, don't worry, you know what, you're going to get lost, I'm jumping in with you and I am taking you to where you have to go. So that is isal ilal matlub. So when we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, ihdina sirat al mustaqim, oh Allah, give us hidayat, we are asking for the highest level of hidayat here. We are asking for the third level of hidayat. Now I'm mentioning this because there are many ayats of the Holy Quran where if we take we don't get the proper understanding of these three levels of hidayat, we'll get confused and we'll say, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha, and so many other verses. I'm just going to make an indication just to give an idea. So dear friends, to understand, this is why we have to understand there are three levels of hidayat. Nevertheless, again here we are asking for hidayat in the plural. Ihdina, O Allah, guide us on. And then as-sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. What is the straight path? First of all, the straight path indicates a path that is open, easy to follow, that is attractive, that is not confusing, that is short, fast and quick. This is the essence of the straight path. By itself it is attractive. When you tell someone, you know what, there's a straight road, just go straight. He says it's easy, but if you tell him you must take 50 turns this way and that way, you will get afraid of traveling on that road. So, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. Now, what is the straight path? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the straight path in the Quran itself. Quran yufassiru ba'duha ba'dan. Quran commentates on itself. The Quran explains itself. So, what is the straight path? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the straight path is sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. I will explain that just now, inshallah. But one important factor we must consider and we must think about is that the straight path, Allah speaks about sirat here. Now, the ulama say you can also use other words in Arabic to denote a path. For example, you can say sabil, you can say tariq. Why did Allah Ta'ala not say ihdina tariq al-mustaqim, ihdina sabil al-mustaqim? But Allah said ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. That because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember that if you walk on sirat al-mustaqim in this world properly, then you will be able to cross the sirat on the day of Qiyamah properly. And if you're not going to walk on sirat al-mustaqim properly here, then you're going to have a struggle to walk on sirat al-mustaqim on the day of Qiyamah. Right? So this is the word, this is the deep wisdom for using the word sirat instead of using any other Arabic word to remind man. And this is all mentioned in the tafsir kitabs. Now we find that, okay, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for the straight path. Now the straight path, how to define the straight path? What to know, how to know which is the straight path? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhi. The path of those, O Allah, who you showed your mercy and your favor upon them. Right? So now, who are those people? Again, the Quran commentates, it explains itself. So the Quran says elsewhere, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. The path of those people upon whom you have showed your mercy That is the Anbiya, the Shuhada, the Siddiqeen, the Salihin, the pious, chosen, beloved servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it's a very important point to note here, my dear brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, for example, in the Quran, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الْقُرَانِ, follow the path of the Quran. Allah didn't say that. He could have said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, صِرَاطَ الرَّسُولِ, follow the path of the Rasul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, all those personalities upon whom you have shown your mercy, show us the path of those personalities. So it goes to show, the very important point that we have to learn here, is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just leave it that follow a book alone, if it was necessary just to follow the book itself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sirat al-Quran, follow the Quran, or Sirat al-Kitab, follow the path of the book. But the book alone is not sufficient. If that was the case, why did Allah send Anbiya alayhimus salam? If the book alone was sufficient for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have printed millions of copies of the Quran and sent them down in printed form onto the earth in different countries, distributed them to all His servants and say, here's the book of guidance, read it, and you're on the path of guidance. Why did Allah choose to reveal the Quran on the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, a being, instead of just revealing it in its printed form? This is a point for us to ponder and think. Then at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say follow the path of the Rasul directly. Because it's not just the personality alone, not the book alone, but a combination of the two, the book and the personality. In example, ordinary day-to-day example, you have a very sophisticated equipment. That equipment is such that you can't understand the use of that equipment without a manual. So you read a manual and that manual tells you. But then you have equipment that is even more sophisticated than that, aircraft for example. Now just the manual alone is not enough. You have to have the engineer and the technician to demonstrate how that manual is understood and how it is applied. So in the life of man also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the book as the manual. But alongside with the book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent the people to illustrate and demonstrate how that book is to be practiced. Reason also why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the part of the people, so that nobody can say that, you know what, I couldn't practice on the Quran, it was difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that there are many people who walk this path and they could do it, so you can also do it. We won't have no excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not practicing. So therefore we find, my dear friends, that together with Kitabullah is Rijalullah. This is the crux of Hidayat. Kitabullah plus Rijalullah. Kitabullah and Rijalullah. When we've got both Kitabullah and Rijalullah, then we are on the straight path. And how to recognize Rijalullah, Kitabullah we know. How to recognize Rijalullah? Rijalullah is Al-Amta Alayhim, those upon whom there is the mercy of Allah. They are from Minan Nabiyeen, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhadai, wa Salih. See if they meet that criterion. If they meet the criterion, they are Rijalullah. If they don't meet the criterion, they are fake. They are fraudulent. They are not worthy of being followed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the guideline that how to recognize Rijalullah, recognize them from among these four categories. They must be either from Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada or Salihin. If they fit any of these categories, then these are Rijalullah. In other words, their life must be patterned on the pattern of the Book of Allah, on the pattern of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, then they are Rijalullah. Now, we now go further that we have understood who are an'amta alayhim, those upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His mercy, and now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only suffice by the positive or affirmative explanation, but even the eliminative explanation has been given here, that yes, the path of those whom Allah sent favors upon them, but remember there are also those upon whom, who are away from the straight path. Be careful, the straight path is such a sensitive matter, that you must understand it clearly and thoroughly. Don't be in confusion with regard to finding the straight path, because today, my dear friends, we find how many people are saying things in the name of Islam, how many isms have sprang up in the name of Islam. So which is the real Islam, which is the authentic Islam? And that is why we find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the previous ummahs were divided into so many groupings. My ummah will be divided into 73 groupings. Only kullu wahidin, kullu minhum fi nar. All of them will be in the fire of hell, illa wahida, except one. And who will be that? Al-firqatun najiya, that group that will achieve salvation. We ask, what is the definition? Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. My path and the path of my companions. So therefore, my dear friends, we have to be very conscious about how we determine what is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah has given us the criterion in not one ayat, but three ayats of the Quran. As-Sirat al-Mustaqim, al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-Maghdubi alayhim, wal-Dhalin. So by exclusion, by elimination, do not follow the path of Maghdubi alayhim, and do not follow the path of Dhalin. Who are Maghdubi alayhim? Maghdubi alayhim are those people upon whom Allah has sent His anger, and Allah is very angry and displeased with them. And Dhalin are those people who are gone astray. Now, who are these people? Abi bin Hatim Tai, radiallahu ta'ala, the companion of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about this, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told, Maghdubi alayhim are the Jews, and Dhalin are the Christians. Maghdubi alayhim are the Jews, and Dhalin are the Christians. But what the ulama explained is that this is not exclusive only to Jews and Christians. The attributes of Maghdub alayhim, what are the attributes of those whom Allah is angry with them? It is those people who are the slaves of desire. It is those people who are rebellious. It is those people who are defiant. It is those people who are deficient. These are the Maghdub alayhim. So if that fits any grouping, then they will be under the umbrella of Maghdubi alayhim. And of course the Jews fitted that description. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says regarding them in the Quran, فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَىٰ غَضَبٍ. They earned the anger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Why? Because they killed the Anbiya alayhi salam. They plotted against the Anbiya alayhi salam. They tampered with the books of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They misinterpreted the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. They were arrogant. They were jealous. They were stubborn. They had racism in them. They had love of material things. They had love for life. They were people who had racism and prejudice in them. These were all those qualities that made them from غير المغضوب. The مغضوب عليهم. It made them from that. Now the question arises that why did Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, for example, or Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, refer to these two groupings as Jews and Christians? So the explanation here is, these were Ahlul Kitab. They were the people of book. They were the people who said, claim to follow Anbiya. The Jews say we follow Musa Alaihi Salam. Christians say we follow Isa Alaihi Salam. But despite the fact of being Ahlul Kitab, the followers of the book, they deviated. So if they deviated being people of the book, then those who are not people of the book, how far will be their deviation? How far will be their deviation? So therefore, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ and وَلَضَّالِينَ. Those, the Christians in essence, but all those who have the quality of ضالين, that is, those who are ignorant, those who are misled, those who are confused, those who are in doubt with regard to matters, all of them fall under the definition of one of ضالين. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Christians in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا أَهْوَىٰ قَوْمٍ قَدْ ضَلُّوا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأَضَلُّوا عَنْ سَوَاءِ السَّبِيلِ. So the reason why the Christians had gone astray, because they attributed a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not defend and protect his own son from his enemies. Then Allah's son, Allah forbid, was crucified, that Allah couldn't help him then too. And then on top of it, he was made to pay for the sins of everyone else. How foolish and how meaningless all of these things are. And how can one believe in such an Allah who is so weak that he couldn't defend his own son? Where is he going to defend anyone else and protect anyone else? So this is the indication of how deviated and how ignorant they were, and how much they had fallen into doubt. And of course, the Trinity, concept of Trinity also is one of those beliefs that make them amongst the nations of the world who follow illogical beliefs. Their beliefs have got no sense, there's no logic. Till today, nobody has been able to unravel the mystery of the Trinity. It still remains a mystery, and nobody will ever be able to solve it till the Day of Judgment. This is the reason why millions of people around the world renounce Christianity, just because they couldn't understand the concept of Trinity. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Sirat al-Mustaqim, its definition in three ayats, and غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ is the exclusive, the process of elimination, that all of these people, they are not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. Those are, and these are not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. And then, my dear friends, at the end of Surah al-Fatiha, we say, Ameen. We say, I'm sure you all are happy to say Ameen, no? Inshallah. Say, Istajib dua ana Allah, accept our dua. So it is sunnah to read Ameen at the end of Surah al-Fatiha, in Salatu and outside of Salatu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that man waafaka ta'minu ta'min al-malaika ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi. The one whose Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the malaika in the Salah. That means he reads his Ameen on the right time. In Salah, his Ameen is coinciding with the Ameen of the malaika. Just on that Ameen, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama, Allah Rabbul Izzat will forgive all the sins of that person. And Ameen is a dua upon a dua. Surah Fatiha is a dua itself, and on top of it we're saying Ameen, we're making dua. Ameen is derived from the word Aman in Arabic, and Aman means safety and protection. So we will be in the safety and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we say Ameen. My dear friends, Alhamdulillah, we have come to the conclusion of this brief explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Honestly, I had to skip a number of points. I didn't go into that detail because I was afraid that the program would become very, very long and drawn out. But nevertheless, may Allah Ta'ala reward one and all for the patience and the sabr with which you sat through this entire program and listened to it. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala placed the essence and the gist of the Surah Al-Fatiha into the depths of our hearts. So when we read it, at least we read it with feeling. At least we read it with understanding, and the title of our program was Opening the Heart to the Opening of the Quran, the opening surah of the Quran. So may Allah Ta'ala open our hearts to the Surah Al-Fatiha, that we receive it into our hearts, and its meaning is always there. And whenever we read it with pondering, we read it with reflection, because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala warns us in the Quran also, do not be from those who read the Quran without understanding. Afala يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Are you going to read the Quran without understanding? Are there locks on your heart? Don't you want to remove that lock from the heart? So that is why we say opening of the heart, to remove the lock of the heart, to open that lock up so that we can understand the Quran, and we opening our hearts up to receive the message of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on whatever was said, and all these different points that were raised. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the appreciation of this beautiful surah of the Holy Quran and make us amil upon it. I think now inshallah, maybe we should take a few minutes for Q&A, and then we'll conclude the program with zikrullah.
Ji,
mashallah, good question. I was supposed to have discussed some of these things, but I left it out because of limitation of time. But since you have raised the question, there are two interpretations. It is mentioned in the books of hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he read Ameen, madda bihi sawtahu, that he elongated the sound of the Ameen. He elongated the sound. Now it's interpreted in two ways. Some people interpreted it that he read it loudly. That is the meaning of maddabihi sotahu. And some say no, he didn't read it loudly, but he elongated. So he didn't read Ameen, but he said Ameen. In other words, it was, even if you read it softly, you read it, you expand the pronunciation of that Ameen. So that is the reason for the difference of opinion in the interpretation. Some say loud, some say soft. It is just an interpretation of what is regarded as preferable or not preferable. It has no bearing on the validity of the salah. If a Shafi read Ameen silently, his salah will not be invalidated. If a Hanafi read Ameen loudly, his salah won't be invalidated. But the preferred view of the Hanafis is to read it silently. The preferred views of others is to read it loudly. Surah Al-Fatiha has got 7 verses with unanimous opinion of all the scholars, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ. We've given you 7 of repeated verses. So this is the reason why we have 7 verses in Surah Al-Fatiha. The Quran says that it's 7 verses. No, no. Yes, okay, maybe in that sense 7 has some significance, but not necessarily applicable in all cases. But yes, you have 7 skies and you have 7 earths, so in that sense 7 ayats of Surah Al-Fatiha, in that sense there is a kind of a hint towards this greatness of Surah Al-Fatiha, in that sense that it encompasses, like how you have the encompassing of the 7 earths and the 7 skies. One can think of it in that way, but the reason why it's 7 verses is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as 7 verses in the Quran. 7 rounds of tawaf you can say also, 7 days of the week you can say also. So like that you can find a lot of 7s. 7 is also important, and so many other, 1 is also important, like that if you go to look at it, so many things, you know, Quran says 12 also is important. The months of the year, 12, Yusuf alayhi salam's 12 brothers, and all of, so like that count now, you can have 6. The Quran says Allah created the heavens and earth in 6 days, right? So 6 also has some significance. 5 pillars of Islam, 5 also has some significance. 4 books that were revealed, 4 also has some significance. So in other words, there's no special significance of Surah Al-Fatiha having 7 verses in that sense. But like so many other things that have 7s in it, the Surah Al-Fatiha also comprises of 7 verses. Yeah.
Start with Bismillah.
Yes, no, this is another discussion regarding difference of opinion, whether Bismillah is part of every surah or it's not part of every surah. Imam Shafi rahmatullah and other imams believe that Bismillah is part of every surah, including Surah Al-Fatiha. The Imam Hanifa and the Hanafi scholars believe that Bismillah is not part of every surah, but Bismillah is one independent verse of the Quran that is not part of every surah of the Quran. So therefore, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, one verse by itself, that is a separate verse, and every surah is separate, independent of Bismillah. Those scholars say, no, Bismillah is part of the beginning of every surah. So therefore, they hold that opinion, and that's why they read Bismillah when they're reading the Surah Al-Fatiha. They include the Bismillah in the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Again, it's a difference of preferred and not preferred. That's what it translates to. No, we do read Bismillah. That we do read. But just that we don't read the Bismillah loud. They will read the Bismillah loud because they consider it part of the Surah Al-Fatiha, so they will read it loud. We don't read it loud because we don't consider it to be part of Surah Al-Fatiha. That's the only difference. The difference between reading it loudly and softly. But reading, we all will read it. Yeah. Just... But TK, inshallah, I think we've covered the Q&A. G1.
Salah, is it okay then to quote between your ayahs to actually ponder over it for a moment?
Yeah. No, the pause must not be so long that it's more than three subhanallahs, because then what will happen is there is like gaps in your reading. So it must be such that outside of salah, take your time and ponder as much as you want. But practice outside salah. So when you're in salah, then the thought comes to you very quick, because you practice sufficiently inside of salah. Outside of salah, sorry.
Yeah.
Ji, don't handle it. No, because there is another difference of opinion, and that is la salata illa bi fatihatil kitab. Salah is not valid without Surah Al-Fatiha. So they believe that you have to read the Surah Al-Fatiha as well. Besides the imam reading, you also have to read it as the follower of the imam. Again, it's the difference of opinion between schools. So they are right, they are correct in doing so, and let them read the Surah Al-Fatiha. They have to read it, because they believe that La Salata illa bi Fatihatil Kitab means that your salah won't be valid if you didn't read Surah Al-Fatiha. Our interpretation is that if you're reading on your own, you have to read it. But if you're following the imam, that then فَقِرَاءَةُ الْإِمَامِ لَهُ قِرَاءَةٌ. The one who is reading behind the imam, then the imam's qiraat suffices for him, and it is regarded as qiraat for him. So therefore, there's little difference of opinion. And now we are an ummah that embraces all different schools, all the authentic schools, the four schools. We embrace all of that, and it does not affect our unity in any way. We still a united ummah. We can have different practices and different opinions, but that does not have any bearing on the unity of the ummah. Because those who all responded, but some didn't follow it through, they didn't want to follow it through. It's like saying, right, there's a gathering here of people, all made a declaration. But after they walked out of this gathering, some were loyal to the declaration, others weren't loyal to the declaration. So that is the reason now that they are not following, because they didn't uphold that pledge that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you're reading it individually or behind the imam, in all cases we must say Ameen. It is sunnah to say the Ameen. The person must try to improve the tajweed as much as possible. The salah will be valid, but the reward will be reduced. If you want the full reward, then read correctly with the tajweed. But if the tajweed is not in order, the reward of the salah will be diminished, because then now every letter of the Quran has got a certain reward attached to it. If you're not reading, pronouncing it correctly, the reward of it is reduced. Inshallah, tomorrow morning, the program will be after Salatul Fajr. We'll have, inshallah, the completion of Surah Yusuf, the translation that was being undertaken by the Imam here, Hafiz Shakir. Inshallah, the translation, the completion of Surah Yusuf will take place after Salatul Fajr. And then, inshallah, we'll have a bit of Zikrullah. So, brothers who can make it to join us, inshallah, we invite you to join us.